Welcome to my podcast. It's great to have you here. I've created this podcast to help women stand in their strength. We also discuss ways to chisel away what gets in the way of the masterpiece of who we are at our core. I also highlight inspirational women in this podcast who are passionate about inspiring other women. My name is Artie Reed, and I'm a certified coach and mentor, and I work with women to tap into their absolute best in their life journey. Life is short, and shouldn't we absolutely enjoy it and be fulfilled? I also believe we need one another to tap into our confidence, our strength, and into our full potential. I love working with women because we have a strength that comes from the core of who we are. I also see that women are naturally great networkers and that when we experience something that we grow from, we love telling others. So we're growing this podcast tribe together. In the shorter episodes of this podcast, we will focus on simple yet powerful takeaways you can apply immediately without feeling overwhelmed. I will also give an example so you can use your creative mind to develop your version of applying the takeaway. In this interview, I have a fantastic artist who sees abstract images in everyday things and photographs them to make incredible, unique art pieces. And as much as I'd love to tell you more about this remarkable woman, let's just go straight to the interview so you can experience how amazing she is. So I have Toni Renee Vieira here, and I just love this gal. She's a client and friend of mine, and there's many things that make Toni Renee very fascinating. Number one, she is a hoot. She's a lot of fun. She makes me laugh pretty often. I love that. And another thing that's really great about Toni Renee is she actually does work a job that she enjoys. She has a side business and it's an art business. She's a photographer, but I really look at her as an abstract artist. Her photography is stunning. She has this amazing eye to see things that other people don't see. And when I first started to explore her artwork, I was amazed at how she was able to see the simplest things and see an abstract image. So some of the artwork that she does close-up images of a rusted vehicle, and it literally looks like an abstract painting. So it's really exciting to see somebody do something that's so unique, and that's why I'm also excited sharing this with all of you. So let's get started.
Let's do it.
What was the turning point that made you decide to pursue this passion?
Well, I had spent many years, 30 plus years, getting up in the morning and working ridiculous hours. And yeah, I was quite successful and also quite unhappy because I lost myself in all of that. So at some point, probably when I finally got to Albuquerque permanently, I just was like, I've got to make myself a priority. And part of that is I'm a nomad by nature. So I like to get out in the world and adventure and go to kind of the road less traveled.
When I've talked to Toni Renee about what she's currently doing, you light up like a bulb when you talk about that too. So you can tell that this particular job that you're doing and the functions of that job is still very joyful for you.
Yes.
And it's really cool that you have this other nomad venture. And I love the way you describe that because it is so you. There's times where you, oh my gosh, I have to tell you this. She just showed me this tattoo on her arm. And it says Nomad Oakland, California. I'm going to take a snapshot of that. And we are definitely going to be posting that. That is just cool. And I have this phobia against needles, so I don't have any tattoos. Anyway.
It's not as bad as you think, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that tattoo. But yeah, it's just really cool because she sends me these pictures and what it takes me to is I'm with her. So I see this picture and I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm just there with her. So I feel like I'm a nomad by proxy. Anyway.
Cool. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it that gets you the most excited about your passion?
It's helping people look at the world differently. let's just use the abandoned gas station, because I think everybody can kind of visualize that, particularly here in the Southwest. And you look at it and you're like, oh my God, you know, there's graffiti and there's all kinds of old metal and broken glass and all kinds of crazy things. And you just drive by it. But if you stop and look at it and really take it in, there's all kinds of beautiful things going on there. Different colors and textures and, you know, metal going up against wood. So when you look at it, it just kind of brings you in a way that you wouldn't necessarily look at stuff that most people would kind of think is garbage or stuff that should be taken from the earth.
I love the way you describe that. Yeah, there's a lot of juxtapositions and what you're doing. And I can look at some of those photographs and go, oh my gosh. And I get so inspired looking at it. I was just bragging about you. I was just showing everybody what you do. And it's just really cool. So I'm super excited about people seeing what you do and the work that you do and some of the samples.
It's a wonderful, fun thing to do.
What is the leading reproduction of your art that draws the most clients?
My art looks best on metal. And metal now is becoming much more popular than it had been in the past. Part of that is because it could be, with the new technology, it can be processed in a way that it just pops. When you reproduce a photo or image onto metal, it captures the true color and the density. And I'm not a trained artist, so I don't know all the technical words or whatever, but I know that if
I love that about you, by the way. That's what's so cool. Just do it. If it brings you joy, because it will definitely bring other people joy.
It's very cool. And when you print them out, and I showed you already an example of this, the canvas, same exact photo. Canvas versus acrylic versus metal. Also, a lot of times what I'm photographing has a metal element.
Yes, I love that. And what's interesting in my head, I can think I like something a certain way. And when I saw on canvas compared to the metal, I was like, oh, hands down. That is just so cool because it has a little lift in the back. So when you put it on the wall, it presents like nothing else. It's just really cool. That's when I go, oh, just leave it up to Toni Renee. She's the one that has the eye. It's not me. So anyway. There's like a matte finish, which I like, and you like the
gloss, more
the gloss finish. So it's going to be kind of what is your own aesthetic.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on my website, there's options. I mean, if you just got a photograph, there's different kinds of quality of paper even. So you can get shiny or matte or textured. I mean, there's a lot of different options out there. People like options. I might not think that that's the best way my artwork shows. Like, you may disagree. You love the piece, but you don't really... You don't like shinier. So it's good to give people options, I think.
Absolutely. And mixing things. So I remember one time you telling me that pictures tell a story. So if you don't mind sharing what you mean by that, so other people can kind of go on the journey with us on that.
Let's say you take a family portrait for the holidays or whatever. Obviously, that tells a story. It captures a moment in time. The kids are small. Maybe grandma's getting up there in age or whatever. You want to capture that. And it's true to that moment. When you're looking at abstract things out in the world, everything has a story. But again, if you're driving down the road and you're not acknowledging that there's a story there and you're not curious about it, it's almost like it never existed. I am a nomad. I'm also, you know, this whole concept of Americana or whatever. I appreciate that because I don't want those kind of traditions to die. You know, for instance, we have these old gas stations. Now we're converting to EV charging stations. 50 years from now, kids might not even know what a gas station was, kind of like a record player. And we had to bring that back to show, you know, this is a vinyl record. So it's kind of capturing that historical moment. So when I take the photos, yes, I concentrate on a snippet of it. And that's what I produce into a bigger piece. But there's also the element of the source.
I love that. I can't even begin to tell you, because you put into words the feelings I get when I look at your artwork, I look at that and I cannot believe that's an old vehicle. Wow, what's the story behind that old vehicle? But my words weren't there to describe that, but that definitely was there for me. And I'm going to go off a little bit on an aside because this is interesting. We live in such a small world. What's interesting is I had another client that told me that she would take her grandson on adventures. And so she suggested to me, you know, when your grandson's a little older, because he's like 2 right now, you should take him to the Wheel Museum, but it's probably not anything he's going to be interested in now. And I thought, well, he's definitely obsessed with cars, so I might give that a shot and see what happens. Anyway, I went down to the Wheel Museum, which is kind of a hole-in-the-wall place, very old school and everything, and he absolutely loved it. The reason I went on that aside is right next door to that was the old rail yard, and I was in such awe of that place. And there's broken glass. It's very old. It's extremely historic. But I looked at it as a masterpiece. And I was looking at Toni Renee's artwork. And she has pictures of that place. So
see, you can see it.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what I'm hoping is I open people's eyes to see things different instead of saying, oh my God, that place is just a wreck. They should tear it down.
It's no way. And I loved that. And I saw some of that artwork and I said, thank heaven someone gets it, you know. Anyway, so I wanted to bring that up because it's just really interesting. This was pretty recent. If others had one word to describe you, what would that one word be?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had this conversation with a dear friend last night because I kind of had an idea of what Artie was going to ask me. And when in all of my leadership stuff that I've done over the years, people have always said authentic. I'm authentic. And I think people that know me, they agree with that. But a word came up, and I think I go through the universe in openness, and I just think when things happen, they happen for a reason. And yesterday, the word audacious kept coming up, which basically means bold.
I love it.
And I'm having this conversation with my dear pal, and she's like, oh my God, you're like the most bold person I've ever met.
Wow.
That should be your word.
Yes, I would say that's definitely true. And both authentic and bold. Absolutely. How do you see your artwork inspiring others?
If you're walking down the street or driving down the road and you see something that just kind of pops out at you, don't be afraid to turn around the car and stop and go look at it. You know, and a lot of my nomadic adventures I do by myself, and I have my co-pilot is a corgi, Prince Jasper Cat. And the good thing about him is he doesn't care where we stop. When you're in the car with somebody else, it's difficult because, you know, I think we just, as polite humans, we don't want to get people necessarily wrapped up in whatever is going on in our head. So it's kind of hard to say, hey, can we turn around and look at that? So I encourage people to get out there on your own too. Like, don't be afraid of it. Get out there and explore.
That's interesting that you did say that. I used to have, years ago, I used to have this job where I was behind the windshield a lot driving. And I was going down this old country road and there was a peacock just walking around. It had the feathers down, but something told me to make a U-turn and go back. And I was actually in a rush. I said, you know what? Life's short. Just stop. So I took a U-turn. I went back. Something told me to do that. Got out of my car, walked up to this peacock, and he literally, I knew it was a boy because they have the big tails, right? He just fanned his whole tail for me and literally was moving from side to side and shaking this big fan like, look at me. Look how awesome I am. And it was almost like a moment of let's celebrate our awesomeness, which I love. You have to trust that gut feeling of make a U-turn, stop.
And it took what? It threw you off your schedule by 5 minutes or whatever.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, it's not... And I was totally zen in that moment. Really put me in this great spot of just being able to enter my day in a different perspective. You know what I mean?
Well, and a lot of times it's those little things that are much more meaningful than the big things. Stop and smell the roses and experience a moment because it could be magical.
You know, I think that if we invite in being able to take that magical moment into our day, and looking at it differently, like for instance, if I'm going into like a work situation and I call it a job, I'm not open to see and experience people fully.
Right.
And being able to embrace who they are. And that is so powerful. If I weren't able to do that, I wouldn't see the beauty in what you do. I wouldn't be able to see the beauty in what other people do.
You know? That's right. I mean, that's why I enjoy my job, quote, you know, air quotes, job.
Yeah.
Because it's that way. I don't consider it a job. If you can find that special spot where you can do that, it's extremely rewarding.
So if you could choose one thing in your artwork to spotlight more powerfully, what would that one thing be?
My whole quest in this is helping people see the world differently. So for instance, I was walking on a bunch of broken glass and I just stopped and pointed the camera down and took a picture of this broken glass. And when I brought it home and played with it and manipulated it and just all the different facets and colors popped out and you look at it, it's like, what is that? And I think one of the fun kind of parlor games with my art is that having that up on your wall and saying, what do you think this is? And people do their guesses or whatever. And you say, no, it's on the ground outside a gas station or whatever. And just to kind of have them be conversational pieces as well as art. That interaction, that interplay with everything from start to finish, I guess. And as I'm saying this now, I think that that's part of it for me is this interplay where there's this thing that's abandoned. You're finding beauty in it. You're capturing it. You're bringing it home. You're putting it on your wall. And it's engaging. It's even more than engaging because you can have a story about it and have a discussion about it. And I took a picture recently and it looks like it has a boar on its back. You know,
wow.
It's almost like this really funny things. And I don't take drugs, so that's not part of this. I do consume some adult beverages, but not when I'm doing my art. Those are totally separate.
If you could wave a magic wand above your artwork and could change just one thing, what would that be?
Having more time to do it.
Wow.
And having somebody deal with the business part of it. Because I didn't get into this to sell art. I started creating these pictures and playing with them and showing them to people in my life. And they're like, wow, you really have something unique here. I haven't seen it anywhere. And you really should promote this. You've got a gift. And then, of course, when that happens, somehow the universe pivots that into business. And I'm sure a lot of artists struggle with this. It's like the passion is creating. It's not figuring out the marketplace and promoting and all of that. And yeah, that would be magical to have somebody who would just take that so I could focus with that additional time on creating and not managing.
There are people that like to do that, and that's their passion. I'm a firm believer in having your own dream team, and you define what your dream team is. It does not neatly fit in a box. It could be somebody that says, oh, I'm really good at this and I can help you with it. And you're still a solopreneur.
Right.
Or it could be that you don't want to be a solopreneur.
Right.
You might want your team to be right by your side. And there are people that love to work on small teams. And there's just so many different ways that you can do that. And the interview that I did with Verna Stearns, mm-hmm. She talked about that. She said, are you going to do everything? I don't have to do anything. And all I do is paint.
Yeah.
And that's how she designed her passion. So it's just so cool because we get to define what that is. I think that where we struggle is, how do I do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And making that leap. It's like, okay, I've got something here. What do I do with it now?
Exactly.
Because obviously you can't make endless amount of art and keep it in your house. I mean, I think all artists have that problem, no matter what their lifestyle is. you got to do something with it, even if it's giving it away. Or I donated a piece to a charity auction, which I felt really good about, you know, and it promoted me, but also I was able to support the community in that way.
And I also believe that a lot of people will go out there and they'll try to figure out how to do it by themselves.
Yes.
And it's like drinking out of a fire hose. It's crazy. So there's a lot of great information out there. The challenge is that they'll just blast it at you and then you have 30 different things that, and if you're creative, those 30 different things span into 50 ideas. So you have 50 times 30 and you're like, okay, and then you end up doing nothing. Or maybe you do one little component and say, forget it. It's just too overwhelming. And that's why I love what I do, because I'm a firm believer that you do one small thing. And let's focus and master that one small thing so we can move to the next thing. Because guess what? We can do that. And you're a great example of this. And that's why I have you featured in the 3 steps to take to pursue your passion, of somebody that does a small movement over and over again, and you have a whole product line. And you had fun doing it. You were on the road. You saw this old truck and said, oh my gosh, look at that. Making a U-turn, going back and taking a snapshot. And then there's this awesome abstract art piece from that one little snapshot. For me, I love supporting that. When I have a piece of your artwork, I think of you, I think of the story, I think of the journey. And once again, by proxy, I'm on the adventure with you.
Right, right.
You have to have a process.
Right.
Understanding the root of your process, understanding what your heart mission is, what is at the core of what you're doing, what is that thing, and that's the place you do need to start from.
Yes.
Then there's all these tentacles that go out. There's the marketing, there's the word of mouth, there's social media, there's, and as I say it, I'm like, oh, the fire hose, we're turning on the fire hose, right?
That's right.
They're all important, they're all powerful. But you do have to have your process in place. That has to come from the authentic place and the bold place. That ostentatious place is being at the core of where you are. And then from there, that's when you have the pieces. I am a firm believer of understanding the piece as you go. And just like your artwork, you keep taking these snapshots, right? And then eventually you have this amazing portfolio. It's the same when you're getting the word out there, when you're selling your passion, is you start with one. And if you broaden out to these little teeny pieces, but you do one moment at a time, eventually you have the whole thing. So this is my idea of reading a great book. I'm a big nonfiction reader. A good book you read. You read it from beginning to end, but a great book, you read one page at a time and go, oh my gosh.
Absorb it.
You absorb it, you put it down and you say, how am I going to practice that today? And you have all these little tabbies. If it looks like anything like mine, highlights, underlining. If I have a great book, I have one that I devour and just mock up, and it might even be dropped in a bathtub. And then I have the one that I say, "You, if you'd like to borrow this,
right. Yeah,
it's a nice, neat one, the Instagram one, right? That's what we do to be able to sell our passion.
Yes.
We start from that core place. It ties in perfectly to taking it one moment at a time and taking care of that one tentacle.
It's kind of like digital photography, right? You just take a ton of shots and one of them is going to be the shot.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about technology, particularly in photography. You don't have to take it down to the photo mat or whatever and spend a lot of money to get your roll of film developed. You just play with it on your computer.
Yeah, that's cool.
And if it's garbage, delete.
Yeah. And if you were to look at your marketing too, that's a great analogy too for marketing, because you can think that something's a great way to market it. And then you put it out there and go, wow, that didn't work well. That's the snapshot. Okay, that angle didn't work, but does this angle work?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's so cool how universal everything is.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we need one another. And this podcast is really designed so that you, because you're going to have a lot of naysayers, you're going to have a lot of failures, because when we were a toddler learning how to walk, we didn't criticize our little toddler and say, hey, what the heck's wrong with you? Why'd you fall down? You know, people look like, you're insane. Well, guess what? That's how it is when you're selling your passion. You are definitely going to fall down, and that's absolutely okay. But having the people that are going to say, yeah, keep it going. You are amazing. It's so powerful. It does help fuel us to continue to move forward.
You know, part of it is being fearless. And you have to be fearless. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. I think for a lot of artists, myself included, there is kind of a, wow, what if this turns into something and I become successful at it? The fear of success is definitely part of, I think, any artist's, well, and it didn't, obviously, that a lot of things. I mean, what, you know, if you want to be a doctor and, you know, you go to school and you do all of this stuff, and there's always that fear, am I going to be successful or I'm going to bomb at this? And I think that that's just part of the human condition, you know?
Like, if I do this marketing, and what if it is successful? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do then?
Yeah, that kind of thing. What do I do if this becomes a real thing?
This is interesting because it takes me back to two thoughts. I remember that years ago, I decided that I needed to make a big lifestyle change, and it was huge. When I made that lifestyle change and I made a decision, I was only dipping my toe in the pool. I didn't want other people to know that I was going to make this change, because then it means I'm committed.
Right.
I was in awe of how powerful it was. I said, wow, look at that. It's going to change my life in such a significant way. But I am terrified to tell people because then I'm committed to it. I did make that decision and my life changed significantly in an amazing way, but I was in awe of how that kept coming up, and I would tell on myself. I shared with people, this is exactly what I want to do. This is what I'm committing to do, and I'm afraid, and I'm telling on myself so that you know that I'm afraid of this. And I told on myself. Yeah. So that's one. Another one is, I'm using the analogy of the body. Being a female and then committing to strength training. Well, what if I start lifting weights and I blow up and look like a man, you know? And, you know, some people may want to look like that. I don't, but, and it's hilarious because guess what? It takes a heck of a lot of work to get bulky. So as we spread the word in our business, when we start to build the success, what's so cool about it is it grows with us. Just like working out, or just like making the commitment that I'd made years ago, it grew with me. I love what you said about fear. Because it is so true. We can be afraid of so many different things. But the truth is if we're rooted into what our heart mission is, if we're rooted into this is what my passion is and nothing's going to stop me, we can move through the fear. And I think that people have this secret idea that people who do things don't have fear. And we do.
I think everybody has.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I've learned, and you probably have, because as we grow and we become older, that if we have a little bit of fear, we realize, oh my gosh, look, this matters to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't be completely fearless if it didn't matter.
Right.
Fear is kind of like that adrenaline that kind of puts a lot of juice into what we do.
Yeah, you could either freeze or be propelled by it.
Here's another question for you. What would you consider your most secret superpower?
I don't know how secret it is, because people who know me know this about me and they've seen it. Manifestation is my secret power. And I learned early on that you have to be careful. You can manifest good as well as you can manifest bad. That certainly has manifested itself in some relationships I've had. But if you really look at something and are clear with the universe what you want it to be, you can make it happen. And it's not that hard. You really just have to be clear. And I had a secretary, my first secretary, when I was back in the litigation world. She would tell me, what you can see can be. And I've heard that phrase since. But I'll always attribute that to her because I think that, and she's older and wiser than I was. Certainly then, I was in my 20s. I think that hearing that from an older, wiser woman, it really helped me put that together. And from that was able to really hone my ability to manifest. Manifestation is a fantastic skill. And sometimes I'm asked by people who are like, well, how do you do that? And I coach them a little bit on how to do it because really it's, we all have control. The one thing we can control is ourselves. And so if we're clear about what we want for ourselves and we put that out to the universe, we have a pretty good shot of getting it or something close enough to it that you can work with it. So that is my superpower.
And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, your heart mission and everything.
Yes.
If you have a belief, it can be good, bad, indifferent, whatever.
Right.
When you have a core belief, it's not one or two thoughts that come from that place. It's thousands and thousands of thoughts that come from that one core belief. And we do have the power to change a belief. Imagine having a dandelion on your hand, the one that's big and fluffy that we love to blow on. Mm-hmm. When we blow on that, we're planting all
yes.
of these seeds. So you can look at a dandelion that's fluffy as a belief. And then when you're blowing on it, those are all the thoughts that are planting the seeds in your life of what you are going to bring forward.
You know, that imagery is amazing. And you may be much more creative than you think.
Well, you know, I'm creative in different ways. I have to share this because I just met with my own mentor and I told her, her name's Carrie. I said, you know, my imagination's made of the finest blends of coffee, but unfortunately I was not equipped with the coffee filter. And I go, Carrie, you're my coffee filter, you know? So we all are creative in different ways. What is one thing you wish you could be more fearless about right now?
Following my gut. I think that that's always a challenge in life. Our bodies tell us what we need to know. It's slowing down and listening.
That really takes me back to that one moment at a time.
Yeah.
Because if you are in the moment,
you're overwhelmed.
And your gut will be very clear.
Yeah. You know, in that intentionality and being in the moment and being mindful. Some people are like, oh, that's just woo-woo stuff. Well, you could call it whatever you want, but the tenets are still there. This is good stuff.
Yeah. And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you're Christian, Buddhist, universal thought, new thought, any background that you come from,
Stuff is universal.
Yeah.
Just because
exactly.
you might follow a certain religion or a certain whatever, the concepts are universal.
Exactly. You just have to find whatever that path is for yourself.
Exactly.
Be authentic to who you are. Honor your own path.
Right.
Because there is an answer there and you will find it. Where can people find you, Tony Renee Vieira?
Probably the easiest way is my website, and that is redscooter8.com. The 8 is the numeral 8. So redscooter8, all one word, .com.
Now I'm curious because I love the name Red Scooter. Where does that come from?
You know, it's been following me for ages. I don't really know the origin story beyond red is my favorite color. I'm always scooting around doing stuff. So there have been people in my life that have nicknamed me Scooter. And 8's my lucky number. Another tattoo I have is 38 is actually my lucky number because the 3 represents coming into life in openness. And the 8 resembles infinity. So when I'm done with this lifetime, the hope is I will be complete for what I'm doing at this moment.
That's awesome. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much, Tony Renee. I know that this is going to be very inspirational to so many people. And thank you so much for sharing your story. And I am really excited about sharing it with everybody. So thank you.
Thank you. I think that there's such a need for women to support other women. I actually had the good fortune of going to a women's college, Mills College in Oakland, which is no longer, it's been absorbed by another university. But that just that sisterhood that we can create for each other, it's so important. So thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining in today. It's great to have you here. You can also join me on Instagram at Artie Reed with the link in the show notes for daily inspirations and more. And I want to hear back from you on this podcast and how it inspired you. You can email me at artie@artiereed.com. I look forward to having you join us for another episode, and take good care.